Welcome to CEO Power Talk, a space where C-level executives share their personal and corporate mission, the vision, and strategies they've acquired to hold the highest ranking position in their organization. Our mission is to develop a collective network of change agents that provides access to resources and opportunities for all leaders. I am your host, Laura C. Bullock, and I'm so excited to be with you today. I believe that the only way for us to create the life we want is to break through those barriers that paralyze us, challenge the status quo, and stand firm for the life that we want. Tonight, we have a very powerful conversation for you as we celebrate love and leadership among millennial leaders. Let me introduce my guests tonight, Anthony and Brittany Glover.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Oh, fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful, doing wonderful. I wanted to share with our audience that you are members of our South Phoenix community. You're natives there, and that you have launched some entrepreneurial endeavors and doing some great work in the community. So I wanted to share that with our guests before we get started. And I wanted to just take a moment, allow Anthony and Brittany to say hello.
Yes, yes. Can you hear me okay?
Okay.
Brett Anthony here.
Absolutely.
Brett Glover, this is Brett.
Absolutely.
Yep, I'm here.
Awesome, awesome. So let's take a moment, and I want you to just know that the last time we talked, we were talking about some pandemic impacts that your family has had, and but also how you came out of that space and really allowed yourself to turn this entrepreneurial opportunity to benefit your family. So before we dive into that, Anthony, why don't you give us a little bit of information about yourself and let us know who you are and what you're doing and how we're going to start this show off today is to give our readers, or excuse me, our listeners, an opportunity to get to know you.
Absolutely. My name is Anthony Glover, and I am a Phoenix, Arizona native. Grew up mostly in Phoenix, Arizona, and as an adult, I have something inside of me that just wants to contribute to the good and to the empowerment of my community. So in the beginning of my journey of doing that, I started off in the poetry world. So I was known as a local poet. And that led me into hosting different events, empowerment events in the community. And eventually, I started working with the youth. I started visiting schools, visiting mentorship programs, and I got involved in the mentorship program. And it kind of took the front seat out of my community involvement. So now I'm known as a mentor for young men in my community. And it's been quite a journey, and I'm loving it.
Awesome. Awesome. And so, Brittany, can you please share with us the mission behind Sister Seeking Phoenix? Tell us what it is and what's the mission behind it.
Well, I noticed during the pandemic when people were feeling more disconnected than ever, we needed to find a way strategically in our community to really bring the Black women together. So I created a Facebook group, thought of a random name, and added every Black woman in the city I could think of, women that I grew up with, women I met working in different jobs over the years. And, you know, in less than a year, it's been about 10 months of existence, but we have already grown to 1,700 Black women who are working hard, creating goals, making an impact in the community. So I believe it really started out of necessity because we were all at home feeling disconnected and wanted a way to still be able to reach each other and have a healing space to support each other during the pandemic.
And that is so true. And there were a couple of things that I launched as well as a result of that. So I know how absolutely true that statement is about being disconnected. It sounds as though this endeavor that you've embarked on is doing really, really well. I know that both of you are very active in the community, but from our conversation last week, you really have a heart for South Phoenix community. Tell me, Brother Anthony, why this is and what is so important about this community and why should we care as much as you do?
Yes, well, not only is and South Phoenix are part of my stomping grounds. Most of my family are actually from South Phoenix as well, and I spent a lot of my childhood, you know, playing in the playgrounds of South Phoenix, playing on the South Phoenix football teams. So that's what makes it a little more personal for me. As I got more involved in the school system, I started to realize how much the school system in South Phoenix, the things that they lacked. The schools lacked a lot of activities and curriculums that I felt they should have, such as woodshop class, just class to kind of get them more engaged into using their hands and things besides classroom settings. So that was something that inspired me to start Useful Hands PHX. I wanted to start it right here in South Phoenix so I can get all the kids in South Phoenix to get more involved in extra activities outside of school.
Wonderful. And so if you think about that, because I think that is a very important skill set that men need to have, young men need to have, you know, tell me what you hope that this particular program, what kind of an impact do you hope it will have on not only the young men that you're serving, but the community as a whole?
I like to tell my wife this, but one of the ultimate goals for me is while I'm doing my work, I want to one day just down the line in the future, I could be an old man right here in South Phoenix and have grown men come up to me and say, "Hey, Brother Anthony, you might not remember me, but you taught me how to charcoal grill in your program. You taught me how to use a drill. You taught me how to fish. You taught me how to change a flat tire." I want to leave a lasting impact on these gentlemen and their youth right now, something that they can take with them on their journey to manhood. So it's one thing to teach them certain things, but I want to teach them something that they can actually use, not only when they become a man, but actually while they're teenagers, while they're preteens, something that they can actually carry with them from now all the way into their adult years. That's my goal right there.
Absolutely. And I know that you're going to do that because I know that the young men that you're working with, they're at an age where everything is so impactful for them. Everything they learn, they're soaking it up like a sponge. So I'm really excited about that work that you're doing. But I want to turn to Brittany for a moment. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I also wanted to add, because I actually started this program during the pandemic. You know, with that being said, we all know that school was out. There's a lot less things for our young men or children in general to get involved in. And that definitely motivated me to create something for them to get out of the house, get off the video games, get off the internet, and, you know, be productive. So that was an extra push, extra motivation for me to create this during the pandemic last year.
Yeah, that's important too, because we do have a lot of couch potatoes right now, including us adult people. So I think it's great that you use this opportunity for them to know that there's things that you can do beyond the computer. And so that's some exciting work. So, Brittany, I want to ask you for a moment, talk with you for just a moment. Describe something for me. When you had this pivotal moment that happened in your life and it led you down this road of leadership, what was that and what did that feel like in terms of that pivot?
You know, I was actually driving down the street one day and I was crying because I had felt that I'd gotten into this rut of just going through, you know, the day by day, showing up to this job to get a paycheck. But I didn't really feel like I was living out my purpose. I just felt like we're doing okay. You know, the money's okay. We're still living a comfortable life. But why is it that I'm feeling like I'm lacking something? So I was sitting in my car crying. And as clear as day, I heard my great-grandmother, and I don't know how I know it was her, I just do. But my great-great-grandmother, who I've never met before, I heard her say, "Organize and lead." I'm like, and lead? You have a degree in organizational leadership. You're supposed to organize and lead the Black women in your community. And so, like a light bulb, it went off for me. You know, and so this is the first time going through college and getting all this education, this was the first time that I saw myself being able to live a purpose-driven life and being able to make a difference for my community while at the same time also being able to feed my family. They didn't teach me that at ASU. So You know, it really has been a pivotal moment for my husband as well, because we're not focused on the money so much. We're really focused on making an impact in our community and really being a resource, because it is so necessary that we start raising the next generation of leaders. We're seeing our elders, you know, pass away. So this is the time for those 20-somethings, those 30-somethings, to start thinking about taking action.
Yes, yes. And, you know, we're focusing tonight our conversation on love and leadership. And so, Brittany, I do want to ask you, you know, how do you balance your role as a wife and a mother, community strategist, entrepreneur? Share with us a little bit about what's the mindset that you have to be in to balance all of these roles, these various roles, but still, you know, make that impact that you're looking for in your community.
Well, it sure as heck helps to have an amazing mate. I'll tell you that. I would not be able to do one third, one half of the things that I'm able to accomplish on a daily basis without the love, the support, and the encouragement of my husband. I can truly say that has really been the key to my success. My husband has given me the grace and the opportunity to make mistakes, make errors, self-correct. So I am just super duper grateful that I have a supportive husband. So I would tell any woman who is in this position, you have a lot to do. You're an entrepreneur, you know, you're a mother, you're a wife, you have all these different hats. I will tell you that it is always important for you to focus on what's most important, and that's my family, that's my kids. So, you know, on a daily basis, I have to remind myself, even when it comes to, you know, jumping in and packing orders and doing things in this group and working in the community, my family will always 100% come first. And as long as I maintain that balance, then everything else will fall in line.
Oh, that's amazing. And it really does pay off to have that supportive or the support system and that supportive mate in your corner, you know, as that proverbial cheerleader. And I think that is definitely one of the things that I can understand and truly appreciate your statement behind that. It sounds like you are juggling quite a few things. So tell me, what's the secret sauce to balancing family, Sister Seeking Phoenix, that growing business, and making time for yourself?
A plan. That is the key to success. I wake up every day and I create a plan. You know, my husband and I, and just being in the spirit of transparency, you know, there came a point where I was doing all this stuff, and I work my full-time regular job as well in addition to this. So we have not even fully transitioned to being a full-time entrepreneur. I wake up every morning. I do my regular job. I run those orders to the post office on my lunch break. So I have a schedule and a game plan, and I think that's important. It is very difficult to get up every day and execute and get all the things you want to get done if you don't visualize them and create some type of plan for yourself to create that balance. And also, can I recommend HelloFresh? Look, HelloFresh needs to give us an endorsement because – I am telling everybody, this type of thing has really changed the game for us. So taking advantage of those modern day conveniences like Amazon Prime, you can have things delivered to your house, grocery delivery. You can have those things delivered to your home. You know, I would just tell any millennial person and above to make sure you are taking advantage of all of the different resources that we have in 2021 to make our daily lives easier and more organized.
Yeah, that's so amazing. I think I have some stock in Amazon Prime. If I don't, I should, because I think they know my heart because they're here quite a bit. And it is true. You do have to leverage all of these conveniences that have come out of this pandemic, right? And I think it really has changed the game, and I think you're right with that. Because if you can't leverage those things, how can we live a purpose-driven life? How can we, you know, make the impact on the community that we want to? So, Brother Anthony, let me ask you, you know, you pour a lot of yourself into these young men all day, probably 7 days a week. What does self-care look like for you?
Great question. Well, it's funny because a lot of what I do for self-care are things that I actually do with the young men in the community. You know, everybody knows I like to teach how to fish and grill. These are actually activities that I do myself for self-care as well. So, yes, I teach how to fish. I teach how to do all this, but I also do that on my alone time as well. So I like to build things in my backyard out of wood, whether it's going fishing, putting something on the grill. These are things I like to do for my me time, to self-care. And it's very therapeutic. So I always keep in mind I have to have some time for myself for self-care, because you're right. In the beginning of my journey, I poured a lot into the community, into the young men, and I was having a hard time. I was struggling with juggling and balancing that with, you know, self-care and spending time for myself. But, you know, going on year 4 or 5 now, I found a way to kind of separate and have some time for myself and, you know, focus on self-care. And other things I like to do for my self-care.
Yeah, and again, it's just not a term that women should get really comfortable with. Men should get comfortable with it as well, right? And as we talk about and have a focus on love and leadership, is there something that you guys do together to strengthen each other in a moment of love and you know, support and consistency?
Great question, you know, because one thing, you know, all the fellas, they might give me some flack with this in the beginning, but I've grown to have a love for facials. You know, my wife, she said, you know what, tonight we're going to be doing facials tonight. So she'll sit me down and give me the whole treatment with my face and, you know, just kind of give me the whole detoxing treatment and the steam and all that good stuff and the moisturizing. And that's something that we do together. So when we talk about quality time, that's something that we do together, as well as cooking. Every now and then we cook together, and those are things that we do as a team for self-care. So we got self-care, then we got, you know, couple care. I mean, that should be a new one, couple care.
And I got a little video that my husband and I like to do, too. We're in our early 30s, so we actually like to go to model homes, knowing good and well we ain't finna buy none of these houses anytime soon, but it is a great motivator for us because we already have big dreams about, you know, what we plan to do and what we intend to do over the next 10 years, over the next 20 years, what we want the city to look like. So we actually enjoy going to look at model homes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. That is awesome. You know, I was just talking to a friend of mine.
Keep us dreaming big.
I'm sorry, say that again, Anthony.
I said it keeps us dreaming big. You know, we go look at these model homes. You know, it keeps the dream going.
Absolutely, you're absolutely right. And I think, you know, it just gives you fresh ideas too. And it, you know, you never know where that creative thought is going to be inspired from. And it could be inspired from this model home that you're, you know, driving by, and Brittany thinks that you'll never be able to afford. But you never know where that creative energy is going to come from. And it's definitely a part of being open to all of it and being able to receive whatever that energy flow is. And I think you're right. It's about dreaming big. It's about visualizing what it is you want that next step to be. So definitely, you know, continue to do that. I want to shift gears for a moment. Anthony, I know that you have just released a children's book, I Can't Wait to Become a Man. So talk about the courage to do that, because I know as an author, you know, you can release your book holding your breath like, oh, my God, what are they going to say? Are they going to like it? And so in my mind, it takes a lot of courage to put your heart on the line in writing a book. And so tell me about that journey. What was it like? And tell me about the courage you had to have, you had to find to release it.
Well, you hit it right on the head. It did take courage to put myself out there, because I am also a poet, and I kind of related to going on the stage and, you know, pouring out my soul and my thoughts and my heart to these people that I don't even know, and my thoughts and my feelings. And it kind of translated in the book as well. Like, I'm getting ready to tell the world what I feel like it is to be a man and the behaviors. And I know people might feel like they should critique it, and so those were all different things that was popping up in my head as I was writing. So it did take a lot of courage, because I knew that there was a chance that, hey, somebody might not feel this way about what I wrote and this and that. So it took a lot of courage. But at the end of the day, I took all the experience I had as a mentor with these young men for the past 5 years, and it gave me the confidence. I said, you know what, I've been working with young men for some time now, and the more I thought about that, the more confidence I had to believe in myself that what I was saying could be very beneficial to young men, and it's something that they can use immediately as boys on the way to the journey as men.
And I know you shared with me that this book is also filled with all kinds of good nuggets for young men to kind of walk away with. Tell me what that inspiration was like for you as you were developing these important tips, these important nuggets for young men to have. Tell me what that experience was like in creating those. And, you know, is there some kind of a system that you use? And I'm sure you're using your background as poetry, but, you know, as you're writing and you're hoping that this particular tip or nugget would make an impact, what was that process like for you?
Yeah, so every page represented a certain behavior or trait.
Okay.
that I felt personally that a man would or should have. So each page did represent somewhat of a poem to me. So one page represented responsibilities. One page represented speaking up for yourself. One page represented chivalry. So each page had its own topic. And I did kind of get into poetry mode because I know they each had their own their own story. Each page had their own story, their own topic. So I just wanted to make sure each page was something that would have an impact on them. And I wanted to take the experience I had with teaching the young boys. And I also took a lot of what my dad taught me. My dad taught me so much of what I wrote in the book. When it comes to standing and speaking up for yourself, being respectful, being a gentleman, you know, taking care of your responsibilities, whether that's taking out the trash and doing the chores before you go outside and play. I want to say 80% of the things I wrote in the book are lessons and behaviors that I was told by my dad or I watched my dad do as an example. And that was pretty much my system, was things that I was passed down from my father.
That's amazing. You know, praise God for fathers, right?
Oh,
because
they
really, yes, man, they have a wealth of knowledge, and mothers do as well. But I think, you know, if I remember correctly, something I was reading, that a lot of our identity comes from our fathers, right? We get that tutelage that we need either by watching them or in receiving instruction from them. So, yeah, I praise God for fathers because they're so important to the overall makeup of the person we are to become.
Oh, yes. One thing I like to mention to my fellow fathers and my friends my age that, you know, how we speak to our young men, how we speak to our children in general, eventually it becomes their inner voice, right? So when they become adults, they still hear their parents' voice. I'm at 34 years old, I can still hear my dad saying, you know, lefty loosey, righty tighty when I'm fixing something. I can still hear him saying, son, you got to roll your sleeves up. Son, you got to roll your sleeves up and just get the job done. You know, all that power you're not going to do. I can still hear my dad's voice. So the way we speak to our children and how we speak to them eventually becomes an inner voice, and we really have to keep that in mind.
So what was your dad's voice when it came to love?
That's a good question. So my dad, my dad is a military man, and he's also a country brother. So he had a lot of strong qualities, and I can't say showing affection and love was the strongest point because he's a very, you know, stern kind of guy, you know, stoic kind of guy. But every now and then he'll slip up. You know, he'll get a little mushy on me or I see him get a little mushy with my mother. And although he wouldn't tell me directly all these affectionate things, I would watch him by his actions. He's a man of action. So eventually, as I got older, I realized he was showing love and affection through his actions. And it wasn't always through his words. Not a man of many words with affection, but he had so much action that proved to me, like, yeah, my dad really loves me and my family and my little brother because he goes out of the way that he does so much until he's tired. I know my dad loves me. So he showed me love, an example of love by his actions more than his actual words.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. You know, on this show, we talk a lot about leadership, leadership courage, and what it takes to be a brave leader, right? That a leader that's willing to take whatever action is necessary in the midst of uncertainty. It also talks about doing what is right over what's expedient, and then also taking the risk of failing or falling short in the process. And so, Brittany, I want to turn to you and ask you a little bit, to share with me a little bit about your view on brave leadership and what that means to you.
Well, I actually am a big fan of servant leadership, and I think it's super-duper important. And what that means is you are leading with the intention of, you know, creating pathways for the people who follow you. You're leading with the intention of building these people up so they can grow on their respective paths, and giving them all the support that they need to be the most effective people that they can be. So that basically sums up what I am trying to accomplish in the community right now amongst the Black women in my community. We've spearheaded a couple of different initiatives, one of them being something we started called Side Hustle Saturday. And the objective is to get as many of these Black women as possible to create some type of business for themselves so that they can have their own income. We have women who are now getting ready to transition out of their full-time jobs because their Side Hustle Saturday that they started just to make a couple of extra dollars on the weekend is going so well. So to me, that's what's important. When I think about being a leader, I want to be known as someone who inspired and supported, not someone who was put on a pedestal. You know, I think that sometimes leaders get a bad rep for wanting to be the person who always has to be seen, when really being an effective leader is rolling up your sleeves and going to the back of the line and pushing your people and meeting them where they are and bringing out the best of their own respective gifts and talents. So that is what I am aspiring to accomplish as a leader.
So tell me a little bit about your journey to leadership and a time where you had to be really brave or very courageous and take on something that you had to do it.
You know, I'm going to be completely honest with you. This has been a reoccurring theme throughout my life. And as I just kept thinking about the pattern, I could think of being in the fourth grade. I could think of being in high school. I could think of being in college. And there has been so many times where I've had to be the person to step forward and say, no, we're not doing this anymore, or this doesn't make sense. Why are we doing this this way? I'm going to give you a simple example. Recently, my husband and I, we went over a friend's house, and we were in the backyard, and they were teaching us self-defense, and it was really cold outside. And so we're going through these motions, and we're learning the movements, and eventually I looked up and said, yeah, I'm cold. I'm going in the house. And just like that, everyone followed suit. And so I looked up and I said, well, what's going on? They said, we were cold too. We were just waiting for somebody else. Nobody wanted to be the first to do it. And so I think that that ends up being a reoccurring theme in my life. But I hope that encourages somebody who might be listening today. There might be something that you're afraid to do, but you would be shocked by the willingness people had to support you and follow you when they see one person who is willing to step up and be the person to step forward and do what they believe is right.
Yeah, and that is so very important to kind of step forward at that time. I know we had a breakfast. I hosted a breakfast, Valentine's Day breakfast for some ladies, and we were all really enjoying ourselves, and I had the doors open and the windows open, and you know, and it was nice, but it was chilly, right? And so I was nice and toasty because I had a turtleneck sweater on, and it was all cool and everything. But the other guests were, you know, it's a little chilly, and I said, you know, I'll close the doors. Oh no, you can leave them open. But then when I got cold, it was like, okay, doors are closing. So I know what you mean by being the first to say, we have to do this because it's the right thing. And, you know, I know I would have ended up sick if I hadn't done that, because that cold air would have just been too much. But, you know, I want to talk a little bit about this historic moment that we just witnessed in the political landscape, where we have the first woman of color Vice President Kamala Harris, and I can imagine the courage it took for her and the bravery it took for her to step out onto that platform and really be seen and heard and evaluated and judged. And I remember when Barack Obama was running for president, he said, you know they're going to go through my kindergarten papers, so I got to be ready for all of that. So when you think about being a leader and being visible, right, and the vulnerability it takes to be visible sometimes, is there a moment that you can remember where you had to step out and you know you were going to be on this platform, you know you were going to be in a spotlight that said, whew, let me take a deep breath, I don't know about this one?
Okay. So let me tell you about my shirt. When I started my T-shirt company, let me tell y'all what my shirt says. My shirt says, "Nonconforming, free-thinking Black woman." Now, the reason this is significant is because I took this shirt to white people, and I got a whole bunch of white people to buy it for the Black women in my community. So before we even fully launched the entrepreneur side of Sister Seeking PHX, we actually sold over 1,000 of those shirts that say "Nonconforming, Free-Thinking Black Woman." So can you imagine the fear of, you know, getting out there and saying, hey, guys, I have this great idea. I want to fund this food pantry. I think this could work, but I just need y'all to roll with me. White people, I need you to give me $15 for this shirt that I'm going to get to Black women. And they did it. And I was absolutely overwhelmed. From there, we launched Ally Project PHX, which is our nonprofit. That is the nonprofit side of Sister Seeking PHX. So, you know, sometimes it takes a crazy, kooky idea, but you just have to get out there. And really, all it takes is that first follower. All it takes is that first person to step out and say, okay, I see the vision. I see where you're going with this. And typically what happens is other people see that person following suit, and they will follow suit as well. So thankfully, our campaign took off like wildfire and allowed us to provide several thousand dollars of support to a local food pantry and the homeless members of our community.
That's amazing. So share with me a little bit about what you're doing for the homeless members of the community.
We noticed during the pandemic that a lot of the places that homeless people would typically go, for example, a fast food restaurant, those places were closing down. And so you have these homeless women who still have a menstrual period, who still have a cycle.
Yep.
We have people who still need to shower. They don't have the ability to walk into the McDonald's and use the bathroom or walk into that gas station in some instances. And so this is an issue of humanity. The fact that you still have to pay $8 for a box of tampons, you know, for a cycle that this woman, we know women in society are going to have. And, you know, that's what they call the woman tax, the period tax. And so the women in our community, it was deeply affecting to us. I talked to them and I told them, you know, I was really thinking about how we could strategically help these people. And so what we did is we created several hundred care packages that contained female condoms. We know we have a lot of sex workers in the community. They contain tampons, soap, toothbrushes, toothpaste, a lip balm, the basic essentials, because everyone deserves, you know, to be able to have respect. Everyone deserves that. And so we have to do a better job in our community, in those places that we see a lack, to step in and make sure we're doing that and giving these people the dignity. Products during the pandemic.
Yeah, that's amazing. And, you know, and we really have to talk, you and I really need to talk further on that, because I was having a strategic conversation with my media partner today, and we were talking about that very thing, that we have women that are sitting on the side of the building at my office, and she'll sit behind the office during the evening and on the side of the office during the daytime, because that's the sunshine. So we know she's cold. We know she has limited or no access to all of those essentials that you just described. and being able to put some additional packages like that together. We have a partner that does some of that work with us right now, but we're talking about doing this on a bigger scale. So you and I should really have some additional conversation about that, because there needs to be a movement around how do we bring dignity for these ladies. Right? How do we bring dignity to the ladies and their families?
I would suggest to anybody, this is something you can do at home. Any woman who is listening to this right now, grab a couple of tampons, grab an old purse, grab a toothbrush, grab a deodorant. If you see a woman in need, give it to her. What we do is we also supply 30 grocery store gift cards to that food pantry on a monthly basis. And this was also a strategic way for us to get the homeless members and people in need, because not every person in need is homeless. But if we have members in the community who are in need, they can go in and just get a gift card. So they can go to the grocery store and get those specific items that they need. You can't use those gift cards for tobacco and alcohol, but this allowed us to prevent waste. Now we don't have bread and eggs and milk and all of these things sitting in a food pantry going to waste. We have the gift cards available. So any person can just go to your local grocery store, buy a $10 or $20 Fry's or Safeway gift card, Kroger gift card, and give it to that homeless person in need.
I love that idea. And it is so very simple, right? It's not hard. It doesn't break the bank. It's a very simple act of kindness, and really giving dignity back to those individuals that need it.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things I like to always talk with my guests about is their superpower. So I know from experience that it takes an act of God to balance profit and purpose and family. So what do you feel, Brother Anthony, is your superpower that helps you balance profit, purpose, and family?
I would say that my main superpower is something that I have to give credit to my mother for. I feel like I got it from my mother. I feel like I inherited a superpower from my mother, which was the patience that she had. She has patience and optimism. She's always had optimism. And no matter what situation we had during my childhood or and beyond, she always had some spirit of optimism, and it was so hard to be negative around her. It was so hard to be a downer around her, because she always had something, another outlook of the situation on the positive side. So anytime I get into a situation where that can be negative or any kind of adversity, any kind of challenge, my initial response to it is an optimistic outlook. Like, hey, you know, all we got to do is this, or hey, this is not going to stop it. And I feel like that trait alone helps me out with so much that I do in my personal life and in the community, because I feel like there's nothing out there, there's no challenge big enough that's going to stop me, because I'm just that optimistic that there's always going to be a way, and I have the will that's going to make it happen. So I would like to say my optimism and my belief that I can make whatever I want to work is going to work.
That's awesome. And what about for you, Brittany? What's your superpower?
To be honest, my superpower is I was born a black woman. I feel like that's a superpower in itself. So, you know, I believe just being born a black woman, all of the tenacity, the creativity, the loyalty, the ability to strategically think things through, I think that that's something, the intuition. Just black women are just born with that. So, you know, every day just being a black woman, I feel like a superhero.
That's amazing. I love it. I love it. So, you know, I think intuition is also really big, or discernment, however you want to look at that. And, you know, we have to have this gift, right? Because we know that we oftentimes think of this work that we do, this philanthropic work or this social impact work, and intuition and instinct is really big in that when you're walking in purpose. And I think, Brother Anthony, you called it belief. It's faith. It's also intuition and discernment. Tell me, how do you keep yourself aligned and focused, or centered and focused? I'll start with you, Brittany. So tell me, what kinds of things are you doing that keeps that focus for you, keep you aligned and centered?
Well, personally for me, I am on my spiritual journey, but I think that meditation is key. As you know, I shared a little bit earlier, as a super busy person, sometimes mm-hmm. it becomes very difficult to silence the noise and just sit in silence. And so mm-hmm. every morning I wake up before my husband and my baby. I try to get up an hour before them, have my coffee, and just sit in silence for 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. Don't say anything. Mm-hmm. Don't scroll through the phone. Just challenge myself to sit in complete and total silence while I have my coffee. And just having those moments of just quiet and solitude to start my day mm-hmm. really give me mm-hmm. the opportunity to kind of, you know, unpack. And also journaling. Yes. I believe that journaling on a frequent basis, if you feel like you're getting downloads and your spirit is telling you something, or, you know, that intuition is kicking in and you get an idea out of, or something doesn't feel right, whatever that is, I think it's important to yes. journal those thoughts with a date. Because I often mm-hmm. find myself going back to that journal as a reference, and it's just amazing to see the growth from, wow, look at how I was thinking that day. And 6 months later, I'm in a completely different place. So I think yeah. that is, you know, one of the things that has really helped me.
And what about for you, Brother Anthony?
Yes, well, I keep my why in my mind at all times. You know, everybody knows what your why is, which is your purpose of why you're doing what you're doing. And my why happens to be a few different things. I have a wife and two beautiful girls, daughters. So those three individuals are a big part of my why. And every time I feel mm-hmm. like, hey, you know what, this might be a little challenge, but I have a picture of my wife and my two girls pop up in my head. That keeps me focused. I keep my eyes on the prize. And I also realize, you know, what me and my wife have going on, you know, we're building a legacy. We both have a goal to grow very old in this community, and we want to have a major impact in this city, in our community, in our hometown. And we understand that we still have long ways to go. And I just want to yeah. be able to just grow old and say, you know what, we conquered everything we conquered. We got over a hump, every hump we were faced with. And I keep all that in mind. So right now, as a 34-year-old man, I always imagine myself and my wife as the elderly in our community. And when I have that mm-hmm. pop up in my head, it might be, you know what, keep going. You have long ways to go. Remember what the goal is. And that's what keeps me driven.
That's very cool. I love that. It's good to have those mental images that keeps you going. And I know the why is so important. You know, that keeps all the juices flowing.
Thank
so,
you.
Brother Anthony, how can people find you?
Yes, you can find me on Facebook, of course, as look up Brother Anthony. That's brother with an A at the end. Brother Anthony, not brother, but Brother Anthony on Facebook. And my business page is Useful Hands PHX. And that's also on Facebook, Useful Hands PHX. And as well as Instagram, Useful Hands PHX.
All right. And Brittany, how can people find you?
You can find me on Instagram at Britt Glover PHX, or also on Facebook under Bri Glow, BRIGLO. And you can check out all of our clothing and products and social impact initiatives at sisterseekingphx.com. That's sisterseekingphx.com.
Awesome. Well, you know, before I end the show tonight, there's one question I always ask to my guests, and I want them to share with our listeners any power tips. So this program is CEO Power Talk. We talk about power tips for our audience. And usually, you know, these power tips are things that are woven in the fabric of who you are. And so if you have one or two that you would like to share with our audience, I would love to hear that, starting with Brother Anthony.
Oh, yes. This is pretty much one of the same things I tell my youth is, foundation. You have to lay down those bricks and lay down that foundation We all like to admire the big, beautiful house that we see in the neighborhood. And, wow, look at that big house. Look how beautiful it is. But one of the most important parts about that house was the work that was put in way in the beginning, the work that was put in that nobody got to see because it was so long ago in the very beginning stages, which was the foundation, the work that was put in to make everything possible. And that's the part where a lot of people start to give up and start to lose hope and faith is while they're laying down that foundation to build that house. So just keep on laying down that foundation brick by brick, wood after wood, and keep on laying that foundation because eventually you're going to grow a very beautiful house on top of that foundation. So just keep working on the foundation. It's going to come.
Amazing. Now, what about for you, Brittany?
You know what? I always love to say, amateurs built the Ark, professionals built the Titanic. And for me, that has been a constant reminder that it's really not about how long you've been in a game. It's just really about your willingness to follow directions, follow guidance, and to go with your gut. Because some people who have been into the game far longer could still crash and burn while you could completely make your way up to the top. So if there's a person who is just kind of nervous about getting their foot wet, they could just remember that quote, amateurs built the Ark and professionals built the Titanic.
That is so amazing. There you have it, audience. Power tips from this amazing millennial couple, Brittany and Anthony Glover. I want to thank you for the power tips. I want to thank you for being my guest tonight. And as we close out the show, I also want to thank my Power Talk community and my marketing team for ensuring that our voices are heard through CEO Power Talk podcast program. I would also like to thank my sponsors, Living Vertical Radio. And remember that you can follow us at blogtalkradio.com/livingvertical. You can follow CEO Power Talk on Facebook and Instagram at CEO Power Talk. And you can listen to the tape program on blogtalkradio.com/livingvertical. Our next show is March 2nd. At 6 p.m., where I'll be talking to the most amazing Carrie Ann Munstead, and she helps women become beautiful. She helps them take down those barriers, those things, those shy things that they have holding them hostage, and she allows them to let their inner beauty come through. So again, this is Laura Bullock, your host at CEO Power Talk. I look forward to talking to you soon. And know that you are tuned in to CEO Power Talk. Thank you.